Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and I want to look today at one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that is often neglected because it's a little hard. The nuance of it sometimes is not understood, and I'll do my best to give that to you, but it has very practical ramifications that I believe can be a big help to us. I'm going to use, in preparing for the face-to-face over these weeks, I have used one of the resources has been a book by Elizabeth George on the fruit of the Spirit from a lady's perspective. It's one thing I've found that when you speak to ladies, if you use a book written by a lady, you can get by with murder. It's amazing. I cover things I would be a little bit, you know, I'd be fear to tread. But, you know, she said, and I'll quote, you know, then I can wax eloquent on, well, not maybe very eloquent, but I can wax on it anyway. And but just some thoughts that got me to thinking that this would be a very practical help for us here in chapel here today. We have the wonderful principle that if we walk in the Spirit, verse 16, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, folks, every time you read that, if it's appropriate, it would be a good thing to shout. That is an amazing principle. It's truth. If you're walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, let's do a little review here. When we are saved, the Spirit of God regenerates us. We have new life, eternal life, spiritual life, and He, the Spirit, comes in to dwell in us. The Spirit of God is not a force, though He has great force. He's the Creator God. He is a person. And so there's a battle between two people. It's you and Him. Not that it's a battle, but there is for you a struggle in who are you going to let have control. Either it's the person of the Spirit or it is your flesh, your sinful tendencies that are still there. You have the Spirit of God. You are created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24. You are a new creation. But if you yield to your flesh, even though it can be overcome at any time, that's what this verse says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you yield to the flesh, you will then cave into the flesh. And think of all the problems that we unnecessarily have. Did you know every problem you have is because of the flesh? I mean, God's promises are true. He's ready to work. Your salvation is complete. Your provision by the Spirit through the Word of God is absolutely complete. There's no problem you have that He cannot solve. So the enemy is us. The enemy is us. We face the reality of that. So if you look now down at the fruit of the Spirit, oh, we love as we read this to look at those first few, but the fruit of verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. We've talked about that, overcoming self. There it is. Joy, that freedom to have a relationship with God and to do what we're created to do, and the peace of God that comes because of that. And then that wonderful long suffering, how our relationships can be unselfish and loving. And then you have that gentleness, that kindness, and the goodness of God. But then there's one that often we don't talk about. It's the next one, faith. Now that's a little bit of a conundrum because faith is an action of our will. And we believe very clearly, the Bible teaches, that we're responsible to utilize our will, that we're not robots playing out some predetermined life that God has foreordained. We have a dynamic relationship with God based upon faith. Now faith is always based upon the Word of God. The specific truths of God's Word. It's not faith. Faith is not a feeling or a sense of good, maybe even confidence in God. All of that's good, but it is a specific understanding that thus saith the Lord, and you are believing it to be so, and you are depending upon it, and you take an action step of obedience in dependence upon God to enable you. That's what faith is all about. That's why you have the Great Faith chapter. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And God is looking for folks that are living by faith. So here you have the fruit of the Spirit is faith. And what you have here is the enabling of God to keep us on the faith walk. Remember, the Christian life is often described by walking step by step. Think about, we use the phraseology, a step of faith. Well, our life should be steps of faith. Today, you made decisions. You've made a bunch of decisions today, and they were either led by the Spirit or, we can be depending upon ourselves. Now, a lot of things we do out of habit, but even there, we need to be conscious of the Lord and doing what He wants us to do. And when we do take a step of faith, God enables us. He gives us grace to do what God commands us to do and what we're trusting Him in regard to the Word of God. So what does this mean here then? Well, it's an enabling to, as you take a step of faith, to continue to take those steps of faith. God illumines you, He strengthens you, He encourages you, He empowers you, and so you take the next step, and you take the next step, and you take the next step. Could we call it being full of faith, or could we extend it out to being a faithfulness? Faithfulness, enabling you and I to live consistently a life of faith. We have to make the decision, but aren't you glad that the Lord's right there, takes our arm, that He quickens us, He encourages us, He gives us wisdom, and He puts it together. He makes the Word of God come alive. And so we're talking about being consistent in our lives. Now, when you think about it, we count on the reality of divine faithfulness, do we not? You and I got up this morning counting on the fact that God is a God of faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. We're counting on the fact that His word is true. We're counting on the fact that He's going to meet our needs. We're counting on the fact that He'll hear us when we pray. God has never broken a promise. God has never done anything wrong. God is absolutely faithful. Every decision He makes is right. It's always in accordance with His word, and it's always for the best interest of your life. And you and I know that. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you will never be, the only reason you will ever get disappointed with God is because you got a wrong view of what God is doing. If you have a biblical view of what God is doing, He will never let you down. So we just bank on that. We count on God being faithful. Now, obviously, He's full of faith because He fully is anchored in His truth and His word. Now, aren't you thankful that there are people that so walk with God that they are faithful? Many of you have parents that kept their word. Many of you have had people in your lives that were faithful, not perfect, but faithful. And it's encouraging. That's one of the reasons you're here. You have seen faithfulness, the reality of God in people's lives. Now, faithfulness could be defined as it works itself out as you're walking by faith as loyalty, trustworthiness, or steadfastness to the Word of God and to who God is. It is a person who is reliable toward God's will and therefore towards others. If we are filled with faith and reliable when it comes to what God wants, that means that what God wants is going to mean that we're faithful to other people. We're a person that can be counted upon because God is doing a continuous miracle in our lives and causing us to be filled with faith, walking the life of faith. We are to be, as was admonished in 1 Timothy 3, faithful in all things. Now, what are the marks of faithfulness? Someone who is in the Spirit. Remember, you are either filled with the Spirit or you are depending upon yourself. There's no in between. It's the person of the Spirit or it's you as a person. Right now, everybody here is one or the other. And if I could press a button, all right, all of the red ones are filled with the Spirit. All the blue ones are not. There's no other ramifications to what I'm saying, but anyway. But you might as well be a blue one if you're in the flesh. Okay, so anyway, we'll move on. But we don't do that, so we don't know. But God knows. And by the way, we fool ourselves, but down deep we know too. Because if we're walking in the Spirit, there's a reality of God in our lives. And so if we are walking in the Spirit, we're following through on what God wants us to do. We're coming through no matter what. We're going to show up when others don't. We're going to keep our responsibilities. We're going to keep our word. We're not going to be up and down. Your yea is going to be yea, and your nay is going to be nay. You will keep your commitments and appointments. You will do what God has called you to do in the fullest way possible. And you will be devoted to what God has called you to do. Wow. Okay. There's a lot involved there. This is one of, to me, all of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, when you are filled with the Spirit, you have either all or none. I mean, you have none when you're walking in the flesh. You may have habits that are showing forth the fruit of the Spirit, but you're not empowered to do the fruit of the Spirit. It's a singular fruit with multiple virtues. Now, you grow in these virtues. You develop them. You're a mind that has understanding. You grow in habits of life and so forth. But it's either you're walking in the Spirit or you are not. And so it is in this matter of being faithful, filled with faith, walking according to the Word of God, being empowered to take the right steps. Either you are or not. And some of the things we're going to go over could be extremely helpful in helping you realize that maybe you're not as much depending on the Spirit as you think you are. Each of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit are all good tests, but this one to me is quite a test. And so a couple of opposites of faithfulness that help us even understand faithfulness more is fickleness. Sort of people who change and up and down. People that change their standards, their nature is unstable, impulsive, change their minds and loyalties and so forth. That's very, very typical of our day. And then the other one would be unreliable, a person that just doesn't come through. Okay. Now, in the ministry of any type, faithfulness is essential. It is foundational. Ministry cannot be accomplished as God wants it to be accomplished if you're not exhibiting this part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you can just bring down this to the fact of when God shows you what you are supposed to do, you take the step of faith and you do it. The flesh always hollers against what is the right thing to do, okay? And so it is going against our natural tendencies and doing what is biblical, right, and what the Spirit is leading you to do right now. Well, let's just take, you come to a person, you're in line with them, the Spirit of God prompts you to give a track. Faithful person is going to do what? Going to go against whatever fear and give that track. And the alarm goes off in the morning. If you don't get up when the alarm goes off, you will not have enough time to have the extended time with the Lord that you know you should have. And so your flesh is going to say, you deserve some more time in bed. I mean, you've worked so hard. You're trashed, you know. And the Spirit is saying, get up. And what is faithfulness going to do? Get up. And there's power there. There's always power to do what you do. Now, didn't we have a number of testimonies how God overcame your fear last week, overcame your reticence, overcame the maybe inability to know exactly what to do because you've not done it much in the matter of just genuine outreach, and you trusted God, you took the step to do it, and what happened? God empowered you. Courage came instead of fear. Wisdom came instead of lack of knowledge. You began to have a heart for the person that you talked to. See, that's what happens. Every time you take a step of faith, big things happen. I mean, God does miracles. Now, in faithfulness, young people, shows up in the little things of life. You will be faithful, filled with faith, if you obey the Lord in the little things when the big things come along. How are you going to do with your children? How are you going to do in your marriages? What are you going to do with the multitude of responsibilities that come with adult for a life, especially ministry, and the pressures and the spiritual battles that are there? It's going to show up how God has been able to develop you. And so there is a real struggle between the flesh and the spirit. That's what we find in chapter 5 here. I won't go into it, but there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And the spirit, of course, can win every time if we will just make the faithful decision. But let's just talk about why we're not faithful. And this is where it gets right down to where we live. First of all, I'm not faithful because I'm tired. Okay, I hate to tell you this. You're going to be tired your whole life, okay? Are you tired, Dr. Paul? Yeah, I thought so. But you're wide awake, so I didn't pick on you. You just keep your dad awake, if you would. No, he was very awake also. So, but have you ever noticed that the closer you get to a responsibility, the more tired you get? I began to wake up to this in my younger years, that I would get a case of tiredness and headache and just a general feeling of physical non-well-being the closer I got to soul-winning time. It's the craziest thing. It's called soul-winning-itis. The closer you get, I've had a day and I don't feel the best. Well, it's amazing how that happens. And tiredness makes us think, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't have the physical strength to do it. Well, young ladies, if that's the way you feel, your kids will starve in the middle of the night. Okay, let's just get down to where the rubber meets the road, okay? Are you going to be tired when that baby cries? Okay, now thankfully you'll have a mothering instinct. It's the poor dad that's going to be... Man, I'm telling you, I was all about the schedule. And when my kids started sleeping from 10 to 6, I was all about it. Then from 6 to 6, I mean, it's glory. And my wife was really good at that. Within just a matter of weeks, she had that down. And that's why I love her so much. She has protected me because that middle of the night stuff. But Dr. Paul he survived. He had that little cross-eyed look there for a while with his first one there. But tiredness is, it's amazing how we just feel like we don't have strength. Folks, that's the point of the Spirit. He has strength you don't have. He never gets tired. He never gets weary. He's the one that will cause you to rise on eagle's wings. And listen, some of the most important things I've ever done or anybody has ever done is when you didn't feel like doing it, you felt fatigued, but you did what God called you to do, and the energy of God came in, and you realized this is of God, and I'm able to do all that God's called me to do. When you fast and pray, you get tired. But then the power of God comes. You see, if we let tiredness rule, folks, we will make lots and lots of faithless decisions, flesh-filled decisions. Now, there's another solution to this. Get enough sleep. Okay. And when you can, do it, because you need to get into a good cycle of sleep. I realize some of you have no choice because you have to be bed a certain time and so forth. But townies, okay. Get on a good schedule. All right, you have the same homework that the dorm students have. So keep that in mind. So do it within the same framework of time and get sleep. Anyway, this is not a townie meeting, but anyway, for your sakes. All right, another thing that keeps us from faithfulness is laziness. This is really getting bad. I mean, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. Tiredness says, I can't do it. Laziness says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to study. I don't want to get up early. I don't want to do whatever that you have to do. I don't want to write that paper. Now, by the way, there's a progression here. And I want you to see this progression. And I think you'll get to have a light bulb moment. And it's going to come a little later. But we need to set our minds on things that are above, not on things of the earth. Okay. And we are to do everything that God's called us to do. You read the book of Proverbs, and the slothful man does not have a good life. Now, young people, you came to college to change. You came to college to learn and develop the abilities to handle adult ministry and be all that you ought to be. There are painful processes that you have to go through. Embrace them, don't run from them. If I asked you all, how many of you feel like you got things about laziness you need to overcome, we would all raise our hands. It's a constant problem of the flesh. But when you start going to coping mechanisms and get in the habit of laziness, you're developing severe problems for your future. Pastors that are lazy can't pastor. Missionaries will never open up a field if they're lazy, right? And you will not even provide for your family if you're lazy. So I think that's obvious, but those are some of the things that the flesh does to us. Now, if you cave in to tiredness and to laziness, you will then start developing hopelessness. Because you're failing here, you're failing there. Your conscience is being hurt. You're not making right decisions. You're taking the easy route. You are not taking the route that God has led you to do and to do the hard thing. And remember, when we serve the Lord, we're actually doing it for Him. And so somebody that's walking in the Spirit has a confident expectation that God's going to work. And even through the more difficult times, for instance, in the 9-week block or whatever, when you are a little tired and you're facing some realities, if you're walking with God and you are not caving in, as best as you know how, you're endeavoring to be faith-filled, allowing God to work, you will have in the depths of your soul a real sense that God's going to deliver you. He's going to work. And those of you older students, you know what that's like. You begin to realize, God will take care of me. Now, you have your moments when you get nervous as you're going along, but you have this deep confidence. Don't you think when you get in the ministry, you better know God's going to take care of you? Hopelessness leads to depression, and depression can lead to all kinds of issues. By the way, depression will lead to major sin problems. Mark it down. And so you can't let yourself. Depression is a decision unless there's a huge medical problem. And so when you allow yourself to get into depression, you really have character issues that are allowing you to slip into some hopelessness, and that's causing you to be self-focused and discouraged. And that's a big, big problem. Hopelessness is never Spirit-filling. If you are Spirit-filled, even if you're battling some things, there is an expectation that God is going to work, He's going to deliver, He's going to meet my need, and I will be able to do all that God's called me to do. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. God said to Joshua. And Joshua was facing an impossibility, but God did it. So he had hope instead of fear. What happened to the Kadesh Barnea 10 of the 12 spies? They were hopeless. And the hopelessness will cause you to disobey. Well, then that can lead to a habit of, hold on to your hats, procrastination. It's a disease that seems to come in the fall here at Baptist College of Ministry. I don't know if it's connected with cold viruses or what it is, but procrastination begins to become something that takes hold. And so here's what the attitude is, I'll do it later. Now, you know that this idea, I don't want to do it, and all this kind of thing isn't the best. I'll do it later. And I'll prepare for that class later. I'll do that paper later. You know, I really feel the need to go to Fiddleheads. You know, there's got to be some person there I could witness to. By the way, whenever you're coping that, and you know you're not doing the best thing, I don't think you'll have a divine appointment. I'm sorry to say. when you're going there for an appropriate, I don't know why there'd be an appropriate reason to go to Fitlands. But anyway, Starbucks for sure, but we won't get into that. Dunkin' Donuts has some spirituality because Dr. Jim likes it. So anyway, I've always got to put a disclaimer in there for his sake. But I'll do it later. I'll do it later. You see, a faith-filled, spirit-empowered person is going to do what's priority now. And they're going to take steps toward what they need to do. Yes, you have to plan to do things later, but you're planning it under the leadership of the Spirit of God. Priority planning lets God lead, and so you live with rest in your soul. Did you know that you can be under lots of pressure, but if you're doing just basic planning, letting God lead, Spirit of God is working, and you are not wasting your time, you are resting when you need to rest, or you're having some refreshment when you need to have it under the Lord's leadership, you can keep an even spirit and not live in this awful pressure and anxiety, which leads in the ministry to burnout. You don't ever have to burn out. You can walk in the Spirit, and you can have the refreshing peace of God, but you've got to be doing what God's called you to do when He's to do it. And the good news is, listen, I know these are all hard things to talk about, but the good news is the fruit of the Spirit is faith. He'll let you be, He'll cause you to be faithful. Did you know you can overcome all of these things? And so procrastination is a problem. And so as you begin the 9-week block and get your assignment sheets, I dare you to plan ahead and get things done early. Okay? Yes, thank you, Brother Himes. You will be much happier. You will have many more things you can do. And I'm telling you, the fruit of the Spirit is not procrastination. It's not just, well, I wish I had learned how to not procrastinate. No, this is unspiritual. This is carnal. You need to nail it for what it is. Now, don't get discouraged with it. Get help if you need to, but realize I'm in a spiritual battle, and the Spirit of God is convicting me about this procrastination, and I'm going to get things done when I ought to get them done, and I'm going to have, by God's grace, the character in me to do what I ought to do. By the way, when the fruit of the Spirit is constantly occurring in our lives, that's when character is developed, you see. And that's when you get self-discipline, get stronger and stronger. Well, if you let those things go, rationalizing is coming up. And oh my, college students can come up with the best reasons. The dog ate my homework, not that kind, but they come up with, but you know who rationalizes the most to whom? You do to yourself. You lie more to yourself than anybody else. I mean, it's amazing how we will come up with a reason why we didn't need to do it. You know, I deserve this break today. You know, I deserve to do this, or somebody else needed to do that. I didn't need to do it. We need to be faithful, as I mentioned, in all things. And so we've got to be very much realizing that once we start excusing ourselves, we are getting in a more and more dangerous state. Because when you start excusing sin, do you realize the pathway you're on? By the way, not being where you could be on time and excusing it, that's not a walk of the Spirit. Not doing your duty when God called you to do it and excusing it or blaming somebody else about it, that is not of God. In other words, you're living in the flesh that whole time. You are going against the will of God. And you know what happens? If you don't see some victory, apathy sets in. We got a whole generation that's apathetic. You have a whole bunch of your peers that just aren't doing anything because, you know, they know they shouldn't be viewing like they're viewing. They know they shouldn't be wasting their time in entertainment. They're not even out doing life. And I'm talking about Christian peers. And they're just apathetic. You know, the world's dying and going to hell and they don't care. And you're going to see that, gentlemen, when you get up to preach. And so I don't care if I do it or not. You know, before it's I can't do it. Now it gets all the way to where I don't care if I do it or not. I don't care if I read my Bible. It doesn't really matter if I'm good to my parents. See, this is starting to do what? Questioning God. questioning God. Because remember, it's faith-filled, faithfulness. It is believing God's word and living according to it and having God intervene. And so if you continue to cave in your tiredness and all of the other issues that we talked about, and laziness and so forth, you're going to get to an apathy which doesn't care, and you begin to change your philosophy of life. You will not have a Bible-centered philosophy of life. You will be a Christian humanist. This matter of the little things right now are really big for you, for your future. So, let me say, folks, the men and women that have been used of God mightily are men and women that were faithful, that were sacrificial, that went against how they felt. Can you imagine being a missionary leaving and never knowing you probably wouldn't ever see your family again, going on a ship and going through all those rugged things, but for the sake of the gospel? The Apostle Paul, all the things that he went against, we're still blessed by him today. You know, this generation just sort of goes the easy route, but it's because of this, what we're talking about. And apathy is a very sad thing. There's no joy in that. There's no blessing in that. There's no fruit from that. There's no lasting results from that kind of life. And you know where it lands? Rebellion. I won't do it. You're not going to make me do it. You say, well, how could friends of mine that I was in the youth group with come to a place where they won't trust God? They won't serve Him. They won't do what He said. Well, I think it was just an incremental lack of walk. It's obviously not walking in the Spirit, and faithfulness is not there. And you get to the place where you just cave into the flesh all the time. I'm going to do what I want to do. And it's a really tragic thing. Now, think with me. I or someone else preaches. Person knows that what was preached was right, but they won't make a decision. That's rebellion against God, not the preacher. You realize how big that is? I'm telling you, it didn't go well for Korah. It didn't go well for others. And God's very gracious in the New Testament time here. But rebels don't just happen, folks. It's a lack of walking with God. All right. That's a little depressing, isn't it? Now, the good news is you walk in the Spirit and He'll enable you to be faithful. Isn't that encouraging? You don't have to go through this big process. Now, we do grow. We do develop. We do develop our character and so forth. But we're talking about Spirit-empowered miracles of life. And if you will let God have control of your life, you will develop the faithful walk. And that can turn around in a day. You know, as I challenge you with the 9-week block coming, you can get over caving into how you feel and getting some help and putting down goals and determining to do what God wants you to do and make sure you're out soul winning and make sure that you're spending that extended time with God and you're having victory in these areas. And if you will ask God to do it, His power will enable you to do it. And you'll realize, I serve a living God. I don't have to be chained by my flesh that is so self-indulgent. By the way, it's a prison house to be in self, be enclosed by self. And I think of aren't you thankful for the faithful ladies that stood at the cross? That was a dangerous place to be. They were there at the tomb. They were there in the upper room. And then they were there at Pentecost. When you're faithful, you're going to be where God wants you to be when the action happens. Don't just be a person that hears about what God's doing over there. Be in the middle of what God's doing right now, right where you are. That's a real blessing. So let me just conclude. Be honest about it. Lord, I'm letting myself get too tired. I'm allowing myself to get lazy. And you can just go through those things that I mentioned. The procrastination is not a small matter, Lord. It is a matter of not trusting you, and I'm not yielding to you like I am. And Lord, would you teach me what it means to walk in the Spirit, to have a faithful walk, a life fulfilled with believing God. I want to see these things conquered. I know that it's only a certain has consequences at this age, but boy, I know, Lord, it's going to have huge consequences 10 years from now. And I want to have complete victory. Do you think God's interested in doing that? Yeah, He is. It's not you pulling up your bootstraps. It's yielding to Him. He understands you. He's been tested in every area. He is making intercession for you right now. He's able to solve these problems. This is transformation time. This is encouraging time. This is a time of hope, not hopelessness. Get rid of that hopelessness. So you're looking at yourself. Look at God, and you've got all the hope in the world. And let God work. Rely on the Lord's strength, and He'll help you overcome self-indulgence. And let me just say, to do great things for God means that you need to be faithful in all of the little things. It's in the things we talked about right now. And if you are faithful in the little things, God will allow you to do great things because He can trust you. It's all His work. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. God's ready to help you. And I trust right now you won't push this off, because this may be the biggest thing that's in your life. And where does it end up? Rebellion. I don't think anybody here wants to go there. But people do. Students do. Don't let Satan win that battle.